Verse 15, O greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know, in brightness of thy face, O Lord, they ever on shall go. We can simply think of the gospel and the blessing, not only in hearing the gospel, but in knowing the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, as we note in verse 19, for we read there, in vision to thy Holy One thou saidst, I help upon a strong one. Who is it, children? When Isaiah 9 verse 6, it's the mighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the help we needed, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, was laid on him before this world was made. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is known in the soul as we sing of tonight. Psalm 89 verses 15 to 19 to the tune Winchester.
Oh, greatly blessed people.
Luke chapter 15, verse 23 and verse 24. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. And particularly tonight, I'd like us to note those words in verse 23. Let us eat and be merry. Let us eat and be merry. Dear congregation, the believer, though so undeserving, is blessed so much. Such a blessed state we are in, we who love the Lord. We sang of that, did we not? Blessed are they that know the joyful sound. We are so blessed. There has been forgiveness. There has been acceptance. We see these things here tonight. There is a new life in which great joy and happiness can be known. Yes, we know this is a vale of tears, but for the people of God, they can know great joy and happiness. Further, there are times of precious fellowship with the Lord to be known, and it's often in those times we know that joy. No wonder we read in Psalm 89, verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound of the gospel. That's so plain there. As already mentioned tonight, that psalm particularly concerns the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see in the opening chapters of Hebrews. And it's the gospel of him, for the help we needed was laid on him. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Joy in the soul. And we will consider tonight joy in the heart of God, but then also joy in the heart of the Son who came back, but also the servants there on that occasion. Now here tonight in Luke 15, these things are set out before us. Now in this chapter, as we've considered before, we have three parables. And the Lord, in speaking these three parables, answers the Pharisees and the scribes who murmured against him. And in making known these parables, he shows to them and those others, those who had come in, that they were most welcome. And as we note in this chapter, through the parables, the Godhead has a concern over lost sinners. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the first parable, we plainly consider most of all the Son, for he is the shepherd. In the third parable, we are led to consider the Father. That's plain, is it not? For we read in verse 18, I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. So the first parable, we particularly consider God the Son. The third parable, God the Father. That leaves us with the middle parable, where we're led to consider particularly the work of God the Holy Spirit. In that work of searching and conviction, as we see through the parable. Well, our triune God has a great concern over lost sinners. And do not we see that in these verses tonight? The concern, but also the joy the Father had. Well, without any further introduction, let's come to these words tonight, and particularly note these words, let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And right at the outset, have you known anything of the joy of the gospel? Today, have you known joy in your heart? To some measure, in view of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like us to consider two things tonight. First of all, the occasion, and secondly, the rejoicing. The occasion. What was the occasion that brought forth these words, let us eat and be merry? What was the occasion? So the occasion, and then secondly, the rejoicing. And as we think of the occasion, come with me now to verse 27. The elder brother, he calls one of the servants, as we note in verse 26, and asks what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. We see there the occasion. Thy brother is come. Now just briefly, who is the elder brother? Now we need to understand again that the Lord was addressing the Pharisees and the scribes who had murmured against him. Just come with me to verse 1 and verse 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man, they murmured. They murmured that our Lord ate with publicans and sinners, those who had been lost and those who had rebelled so. The Pharisees, they murmured. The elder brother, we believe, along with many of the commentators of the old school, represents the Pharisee. or the scribe. Now we note these words in verse 31, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. What do we make of that? Well, we're simply to understand this. The Pharisees continued on with their attendance in the temple. The elder brother, we could say, continued on with his attendance in the temple. All the time, thou art ever with me. The lost son went off. He didn't keep up near to the temple where the presence of the Lord was. The elder brother then, the Pharisee or the scribe. Well, what do we read in verse 27? And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. The lost son had come home. This particularly was the cause. Just come with me to verse 23. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. The lost son had come home. Here's the occasion then. A number of years ago, out in America, there was a little boy who went missing. The family had packed the people mover, this large car, and were about to go on vacation. The little boy with his tricycle was playing out in the yard, just going round in circles. Well, they were nearly packed, and the father went in, and the mother, just to make sure all the windows were shut, as you do. They hid everything. When they came back out, the little son had gone. The father got on his quad bike and went round different parts of the estate looking for his little son, but to no avail. So he called the authorities, the sheriff, and soon the authorities turned up. And then there were many friends and neighbours came as well. And they continued to search for the little boy. Imagine the parents had become very concerned. What had happened? Where was their little one? There were great lakes near to the home. And there was many a wood as well. Disused buildings which were not safe. But they began to search more and more. The hours passed. An elderly man heard of what was happening. And his son came with him to help in the search. Now the elderly man was greatly moved because a few years earlier he had lost a son in a car accident. Well, the elderly man and his son came. His heart was pulled, and though he could hardly walk, he went forth, he went out into the fields, and he went into this wood that others had not yet gone into. And there this elderly man who had lost his own son found this little boy, and they brought him back. And as they come into the yard, there the parents were, and the neighbours and the authorities, they were waiting. And there was such joy. He who had been lost, this little boy of just a few years of age, he had been found. And the father ran to meet him, and there were tears running down his face, and the mother came and lifted up the son as well. There were tears of joy now, and happiness. There have been tears of sorrow, but now tears of joy and happiness. Their son was back. What do we read here in verse 27? Thy brother is come. Oh, what happiness there was. Now we note these words in verse 23. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. Now, if we think of the parable, the lost son went off. He went off for a long time. And the father feared the worst. Do you understand that in the parable? The father feared the worst. Where was his son? There wasn't modern communication. It's amazing, isn't it? If someone goes on the other side of the world, you can keep in contact with them nearly instantly. But not in these days. The father feared the worst. What joy it was here in the parable. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He'd gone off. He'd feared the worst, the father. He'd lived such a life. But here he is, well and alive. Let's think of the spiritual application. Men by nature are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. They've rebelled from God's word. Yes, some have been taught much. We understand that through the parable. But there came a time, they're gone. Why? There was no life within them. They were spiritually dead. But in effectual calling, there was the new birth. Oh, what joy when there's life put within. Now turn with me to Ephesians 2, verse 1. You have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And so it's true of us, isn't it? What do we read in verse 24? For this my son was dead, and is alive again. Yes, we may have not been the one who rebelled from good teaching and went off for years, but it's true of every one who is born again. Previously they were dead, but in the new birth they have been made alive. Oh, that brings joy to the Father. If you've been born again, oh, there has been rejoicing in heaven. But what we read further in verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. He was lost and is found. Lost. Think of one who is lost. They're not in the shepherd's hand. They're not with Christ. They're lost. They may not think themselves lost, but they are. So many in this area. They don't think themselves lost, do they? They think, well, I have a fairly easy life in some ways. I have riches. I know times of joy. Lost, what do you mean? So many are lost, but they don't think it. But the Bible makes plain that they are lost. They're wandering from God in misery and in darkness. One of old wrote, away from the tender shepherd's care. They're not near him. They're lost. They're wandering. What about you? Well, we read in Luke 19, verse 10, these words, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You think there is Zacchaeus? Before he was found, he was lost. He wasn't near the Lord. He was wandering down the pathways of sin. He broke the commandment. He stole. As we know, oh, consider those who are lost. They're in a miserable state. They're lost in sin. They're living for sin. They're living in unbelief. They're not believing, are they? They're breaking the first commandment. They're not near the Lord in a spiritual way. What a blessing it is to be in union and communion with Christ. But if you're not, you're lost. Sin is no true friend. One is lost. Sin brings no fellowship, true fellowship. One is lost. One does not know the spiritual joy that the believer does. There's no fellowship with the Lord. There's no communion with him. Now turn with me to Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. But your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. There's separation, there's a distance. The sinner is lost. Where are you tonight? Are you in the hands of the shepherd? Or are you far away? Lost? Consider further one who is lost, they're going in the wrong direction. Come with me in the parable to verse 12 and verse 13. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted his substance. And what do we read? He was found particularly doing in verse 30. Living with harlots. Wandering away from God's law. Breaking the commandments. He'd been brought up. He'd been taught what was right. However, he went against it all. He rebelled. He went in the wrong direction. And I tell you tonight, sinners without Christ are going in the wrong direction. They have no real concern for the Bible. Lost. Wandering from God. They do not seek truly the Lord to worship him. They do not seek truly to keep his commandments. Yes, they may seek to do what that seems outwardly right, but it's not from the heart, is it? If one remains in the state, wandering away from God all their lives, they will not go to heaven, but they will go to that terrible place called hell, and they will be lost forever. What do I mean? They will be far away from the gracious and loving presence of God. They will know nothing but his wrath. Of Solomon. Lost. But what do we read here in verse 24? For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Found by the shepherd, as we see in the first parable. Found by the Holy Spirit, as we see in the second parable. Found by the Father, as we see in the third parable. Found by grace. I say this, found by grace. Just notice this in the parable, verse 20. And he that is the son arose and came to his father. And children, he was dressed in rags, wasn't he, when he went to the father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What grace, what favour. So undeserving was the son, so undeserving we have been, dear brothers and sisters, in Christ. Found by grace. Found. Let me ask you, has the Almighty God found you? He knows where you are tonight. But let me ask you, has he found you? Those of you listening on, has he found you? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are we not amazed? He found us. Dressed in rags we were, but he found us and he put a robe upon us. Lost or found? We ought to be so amazed that we were found by God. The poet John Newton wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." What grace! To have been found by God and to be safe forever. What do we read in verse 27? "Thy brother is come, thy brother is come." Verse 24, he was lost and is found. What a blessing to be found by God. Well, here was the occasion for great rejoicing. Now just at this point, let's go back to the first parable. Let's consider the occasion again of great rejoicing in the first parable, verse 5. "And when he had found it," that is the lost wandering sheep, "he laid it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Rejoice with me. There's the shepherd. There's the Lord Jesus Christ. Finds a lost wandering sheep. Finds a lost wandering lamb. And he rejoices. We grieved him. He was in such pain and agony upon the cross because of my sins. Yet in effectual calling, in the time of love, he rejoiced over a sinner like me. Dear children here tonight, I know some of you love the Lord here. Jesus the shepherd rejoiced over you, and so he picked you up, and he's been carrying you ever since. Here's the occasion. Times of joy. Well, there are times of joy in the gospel, in seeing sinners turn. Joy in heaven, but there is joy on earth as well. In seeing men and women turn to the Lord in faith. In Psalm 126, verse 5, we read, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They sow in tears, they go forth, they're opposed, they toil, like the disciples all night, and they see no fruit for a while, but they will reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seeds shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his seeds with him. We who love the Lord, our prayer is this: soon bring the day of joy when we see sinners turning to the Saviour. Tears were shed going forth, but then tears of joy were shed in seeing fruit. A missionary couple went off to Senegal. They laboured for nearly 30 years. They saw nothing. But then there was so much fruit in their latter years. Joy in seeing men and women turn to the Saviour, saved by grace. They were lost but found by him. There are disappointments, there's setbacks in the work of the gospel. There's tears of joy now, I tell you. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest, and there will be many occasions still for great joy. The Father will rejoice, the Son will rejoice, the Holy Spirit will rejoice, and we will be found rejoicing, seeing men and women, boys and girls, being saved. But here's the occasion then, as we notice in verse 24, let me ask you, has there been this occasion in your life? Have you come to yourself? Just notice verse 17. Here's the lost son. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Before he came to himself, we can say he wasn't thinking right, was he? And I say that carefully. People without Christ are not thinking right. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here represented is one, they've been brought to themselves. They consider, listen to Spurgeon, a sinner is beside himself while he is living in sin. He is out of his mind. He is beside himself. I am sure this is so. But oh, in effectual calling, the elect sinner is brought to a point. Through the Holy Spirit, they begin to reflect. What have I done? I've sinned. What have I done? There's a turning. Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought on my ways. Have you done some serious thinking in your life? I thought on my ways in that initial way. As the Lord's people, we keep thinking, don't we? We keep reflecting. The Puritan Thomas Manton wrote, be frequent in this work of serious consideration. I thought upon my ways. We hear the lost son, what have I done? I've been wasting my time in sinning against God. Have you been brought to that point? I've wasted my life in not living it for Jesus. There's reflection, but also there is conviction. We notice that in verse 17 and verse 18. He feels his sin. He came to himself. He considers what he has done. He's convicted. I have sinned. Have you told the Lord that you're a sinner? Have you? I've done wrong. I've sinned against thee. In true gospel repentance, there is the conviction of sin. One has a true sense of their sin, and they grieve over it to some measure. There's a hatred of it. But also they're led to consider the suitableness of Christ. That he is the one. They're drawn to him. With this lost son, he was drawn. He came home. Here was the occasion. He who had been dead was alive. He who had been lost was found. And there was great rejoicing. I'm amazed at this. That the great and the holy God ever rejoiced over me with such a joy. And that leads us to consider our second and final point tonight. The rejoicing. Verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now we note the words in verse 23. Let us eat and be merry. And they began to be merry. Now we have here the word merry. One is put in a good frame of mind. Made glad. Rejoices. One is merry. In Proverbs 17 verse 22 we read this. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Do you know what we're told to do in James 5 and verse 13 if we're merry? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. So we should be singing psalms often, shouldn't we? Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. The word merry there from the Greek, translated as merry, is be of good cheer. Merry. Well, we're told they began to be merry. Simply, there was great rejoicing. First of all, the Father was rejoicing. Consider again verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The Father is glad. Just consider, he's given the ring. Oh, such joy and gladness when the Lord gave the ring. The robe was put on as well. Let's just open this up. The Lord rejoices when he is a judge justified. For there is the robe of righteousness. I trust you'll never call before a judge. You'd be amazed, wouldn't you? If when the judge pronounced sentence, he smiled at you. Oh, the gladness in the heart of God when he justified me and accepted me. The robe was put on, as we note there in verse 22. The best robe, the only robe that will do. And God the Father takes delight in putting or imputing the righteousness of Christ to the elect sinner. Guilty they were. And he was angry, but then great joy. Oh, the joy of the Father. Isaiah 61 verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments. And as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. He hath covered me. What a joy it was to the Father to cover you, dear child of God, with the robe of Christ's righteousness. But let's then consider the ring. What do we note in verse 22? And put a ring on his hand. Think of a ring. It marks out one as belonging to another. The ring. Nearly 28 years ago, at the front of the church, I gave Sharon a wedding ring. In the ceremony, I didn't realise what I was doing. First of all, I put my ring on Sharon's finger. And I thought, that's rather large. I quickly realized, took it off, and put her ring on. Why a wedding ring? I belong to someone. And the Father delighted in publicly owning you, as it were, in marking you out. They're in adoption. They belong to me. Oh, the joy the Father had. They belong to me. Yes, they were his, and he gave them to the Son before the world was made. They were his elect, but here in effectual calling, marked out, the Father put a robe on. What joy, put a ring. They belong to me. They were wandering, they were lost, they grieved me. They belong to me. What a joy it is to the Father that you belong to him. What a joy it should be to us that we belong to him, not for time alone, but all for eternity. But then consider the shoes in verse 22, shoes on his feet. The Father rejoices to put the sinner on the right way. He rejoices that the sinner now knows peace in the gospel. The Father rejoices. Notice verse 23, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. The Father rejoices in that which has been provided. Oh, there's so much here, and time is gone. The Father rejoices in what the Son has done for the elect here upon earth. He was satisfied. Do you not see that in Matthew 17, verse 5, at the transfiguration of Christ? While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him, in whom I am well pleased, satisfied with the finished work of Christ. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. The Father is pleased with what the Son has done. And further, as we see here in the parable, the life that is given and the sustaining of that life, the soul-satisfying provision for the soul. The Father is pleased that you have the Son and you have life and you have all you need to see yourself through this life. The Father is pleased that you are provided through his beloved Son. He rejoices that the Son who was provided is sustaining you. The Father rejoices. The Son rejoices. The Holy Spirit rejoices. Our triune God rejoices. Just think of the Son who rejoices. Verse 5 and verse 6. Here's the shepherd. He layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. What a joy it was to Jesus to pick me up from the gutter. What a joy it is to Jesus that he is carrying me. What a comfort that is to us, isn't it? We grieve many times, but there is joy. Well, we could go on. The Father rejoices, the Son rejoices. In the second parable, we see that the Holy Spirit rejoices as well. But as we draw to a close, it's not only the Father rejoicing here, was it? It was the Son as well, and the servants. Let's just consider the lost Son. He's rejoicing now. He felt so ashamed in the pig field. What would the Father say? But the Father rejoiced, and he's found rejoicing. And there is what we call the joy of God's salvation. Psalm 51, verse 12. Now, if you note that psalm, the psalmist had strayed. He had backslidden. He had done wrong. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had killed Uriah. He had done wrong. And the psalmist prays there, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. There is the joy of God's salvation to some measure. Sometimes We backslide and we don't know the joy. Sometimes we're in trial and we're struggling and we find it hard to rejoice, but sometimes it's because of backsliding and we need to pray. And humbly we recognize we need to pray at times. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. I was listening to a certain preacher. He came to the Reformed faith. And I remember him saying this in the church in London where Spurgeon was the pastor many years ago. Let us not lose the wonder of the gospel. Let us not lose the wonder of the gospel. Think much of Jesus, what he has done for your soul. What is the joy of God's salvation? Here's the Son. Do you not see the grace of God here? The Son had been lost but was found. He felt ashamed, but he's told by the Father, let us be merry. That tells me so much. The comfort known in the gospel, thy sins be forgiven thee. You rejoice. Let me tell you this. Dear child of God, God wants you to rejoice in what he has done for your soul. He wants you to rejoice. You may say, I've done so much wrong. You've come humbly, penitently, you rejoice. Let us be merry. We're to rejoice in the Lord, but we go even further. We're to rejoice with the Lord. We can know this rejoicing in fellowship and dining with him. Rejoicing. Let us be merry. And there's much cause for rejoicing. We're covered by the righteousness of Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We're accepted. We know fellowship. We have access to heaven. In those dark days, we can turn to the Lord and pray. He will not turn us away. That's a cause for rejoicing. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He makes plain to us we belong to him. It's a joy to him that he owns us. It ought to be a joy to us that we belong to him. My beloved is mine and I am his. That's a cause of rejoicing. The Lord belongs to you and you belong to him. All is well for your soul. You've been set on the right path. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. We were wandering over to the pleasure houses of sin. But now he set us on the narrow way. Yes, we fail and stumble as a believer, but we're on the narrow way. We know the word affecting us and guiding us. That ought to be a joy. That the word is made effectual in our hearts. We're convicted at times, but then we're encouraged to go on in the right way. Well, on we could go. Here's the Son rejoicing. Joy in fellowship. Just notice this again in verse 24. Verse 23. Let us eat and be merry. In fellowship with the Father, in fellowship with the Son. There's rich provision through him in the life the believer has, dining with Jesus. Oh, to know more joy in the presence of Jesus. Revelation 3 verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. He comes. He wants to spend time with you in public worship. But also in the private place. He comes. In initial way, he stands at the door and knocks. And then he enters. But then in subsequent times, particularly in light of the Song of Solomon there. Let me ask you. How long has he had to stand and knock at the door of your heart today? And in this past week? How long? May it be for me, it's not so long this coming week. When I hear the knock, may my heart open and fellowship be enjoyed. He wants to dine with you. And yes, there are the sad times, but our hearts can be encouraged by his presence and by his voice. He wants to hear us. We want to hear him. Joy in the nearness of Jesus. Let us eat and be merry, feasting on the Lord, feasting on the good things of the house. And then consider further the joy of, I've been found and I'm safe now. For this he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. All is well. Sometimes doubts can arise in the heart. You listen to these words. Let us eat and be merry. He desires you not to struggle with doubts, but to rest in his love and to know the joy. Let us eat and be merry. Let that be an encouragement to you. Say no to your doubts. Say no to the whispers of the devil. My Father says, let me be merry. Let me rest in his love. The Son rejoices. Dear brethren, we should rejoice in what the Lord has done for us. But we should also rejoice in what the Lord is doing for others. We think of the angels rejoicing here, but also think of others. The servants were rejoicing. We can think of the angels, but let's also think of those in heaven who love the Lord. Departed saints, they're rejoicing. And oh, if we could only have an insight into heaven now, on this, the Lord's day, we will be taken back by God rejoicing. And the angels rejoicing over sinners repenting in this world today. With all my heart, I believe it. It's an often occurrence in heaven, the joy over sinners repenting. Let me ask you as I close, has there been joy in heaven over you? What a blessing to be found by the Lord. And what a happy eternity awaits you, dear child of God, with Jesus. Let us eat and be merry. We know certain aspects. We've tasted of the feast so far. But one day, such happiness in heaven and the world to come, and the feast will continue and the joy will increase. Will you be feasting with Jesus for all eternity? Oh, to rejoice more often in the Lord now. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Oh, to rejoice more. We have our struggles. We have our sad times. But oh, to rejoice more. But oh, to rejoice that it would be that which honours the Lord, but also a preparation for heaven. We shall be dining with the Lord. And with this I close. You're going to be so merry in eternity. What a contrast for those who die in their sins. They will be so miserable. But for you, dear child of God, you're going to be merry with throughout all eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we are humbled by these words. We feel our sin. But thou dost say, let us eat and be merry. We grieve thee. Thou wast angry with us. Yet there was a joy in thy heart when thou didst save us. And we know at times we grieve thee as believers. But we thank thee still there is joy. We are amazed, O Lord, that thou art rejoicing over thy people. May we rejoice more with thee. If doubts arise, may we turn to those words that we have heard tonight. Let us eat and be merry. May we turn from the whispers of the devil. Let us eat and be merry. And may we look forward to a happy eternity with thee, O Lord, for any without Christ. As we've considered the serious things tonight of those who do not love him, if it please thee, for any here or listening online who is lost now they would be found before the end of this hour. O Lord, hear us. At times we pray, restore to us the joy of thy salvation. We know we need to pray it. Yes, there are those times of sadness. It's not to do with some particular sin. And we need help at times, but we know there are certain times it's to do with our sin. Restore to us the joy of thy salvation. O, hear us now, for Christ's sake. Amen. We turn to our final praise, Psalm 4. Psalm 4, verses 4 to 8, and the tune is Wallace. Fear and sin not, talk with your heart. On bed and silent be, offerings present of righteousness. And in the Lord trust ye, O, who will show us any good? Is that which many say, but of thy countenance the light, Lord, lift on us always. Upon my heart bestowed by thee more gladness I have found than they in them when corn and wine did most with them abound. Psalm 4, verses 4 to 8, and the tune is Wallace.
Hear and sing, Lord, so
unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.